Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Minnesota State Fair has just announced the new foods for this summer's fair, including things like Snicker Bar salad, deep fried ribs, hot tail, and walleye stuffed mushrooms. Here to tell us some more about food at the fair is Dennis Larson, who is the license administration manager for the fair, and he's the guy who gets to choose what foods will be offered there. Dennis Larson, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Oh, glad to be on.
Welcome back to the Roadhouse, I should say.
Yeah,
we talk to you pretty much every year here.
It's been a couple years, yeah.
You know, I want to go back a little bit and say, ask you and give us a little bit more of a big picture. How big of a role, no pun intended, does food play in the fair-going experience, in your judgment, from your vantage point?
Well, of course, all the departments would like to take all the credit for the success of the fair, but obviously it's a blending and it's a little bit of something for everything from the agricultural basis and mom, you know, entering her cookies and jams and jellies and still the livestock show, and it really is a blending of everything. But I don't have this statistic in front of me, but I do know once the new food is launched, it's one of the biggest hits we have on our website all year. So I will take credit for that. And it is, we used to say that you know, the fair used to be for farming. Now it's about farming or about agriculture. And of course, what a better thing than to come there to enjoy food and many of it and many new fun things. So.
Sure. Not all of which is grown in Minnesota, but
not necessarily, but we encourage that whenever possible, obviously.
Do you have any idea of, on average, how much money is spent on food at the fair during its term?
Well, actually, I do, yeah. Between food, beverage, and beer, and wine, our gross sales last year were just about $39 million for the 12 days of the fair. So I claim to run the largest restaurant in the world for 12 days, and then we closed.
How many food vendors are there?
We've got just about 300 locations.
300 locations. Oh, my goodness. Suppose I wanted to come in. I had an idea for something I wanted, some kind of food product I wanted to present. I came in, and what do I do to get into the fair?
Well, the most important part of it is, sometimes it sounds maybe a little arrogant, but we say you have to play a lot of football before you go to the Super Bowl, and we are truly the Super Bowl of food fairs. So you need a little bit of practice first, and we don't want you to practice here. And a lot of people say, well, I want to save my fantastic, you know, whatever it is on a stick and bring it to the fair first. And I say, well, I appreciate that, but we don't want you to practice or experiment here. We want you to get some good road work in and work a few festivals and a few county fairs and kind of work your way up, if you will, and see if it's tried and true and tested, and that you can kind of learn how to serve that to 1.8 million people, which is a real challenge.
So, yeah, I'm sure it is. What sort of do they have to sign some sort of a contract? And obviously, they give you a resume of what they've done first, and then do they sign a contract that binds them to what they're going to serve?
Yes, we have a registration process where I always say anybody can register their interest to have a booth at the fair. And at any given time, in fact, this morning I just checked, we have 414 current registrants who would like to sell their food at the fair. And the challenge this year is I placed 4. So you can see the odds are pretty slim just based on the pure numbers. So yeah. They register their interest, which is a kind of a resume, for lack of a better term. Tell us who you are, what you've done, what you'd like to do, and where you've done it before. And then once you are chosen, then you are licensed very specifically for you and your company, your product, the location, and exactly what you will. We're down to where we actually license the inch size of corn dogs now. It's kind of silly, but we went from regulars to jumbos to really jumbos, so we had to keep a handle on it. We're licensing up to 3 different size corn dogs now, which seems kind of silly, but just to keep track of everything.
and the sites where the vendors produce their food, who actually owns those?
The mixed bag, really, for the most part, most of the 500 locations are what we would call concession trailers, which we all see very commonly on the road and at all the fairs and festivals and county fairs and so on. But most of them are portable concession trailers, which are the simplest and easiest for us. We just have to have a water power sewer for them to pull in and set up, and then they're gone again, just like a guy going camping. But then beyond that, we do have what I call my incubator, and that's the food building, which has about 30 locations in there, and they're just roughly 18 by 20. So it's in a regular permanent building, and they have water, sewer, hot water, and power to their location, and then their responsibility is to do or create the build out in there, if you will. And we have very little turnover, though. Some people stay in the incubator for a long time, and kind of a place to try it for the first time, if you will. And then the other extreme is last year, as an example, on the West End, the Blue Moon or Blue Barn people came in, and Lulu's Public House came in, and they built literally million-dollar restaurants. And then that is their personal property that they own on the fairgrounds. So kind of those two extremes, if you will.
Do they get a long-term lease then for that?
We still, by state statute, can only give them a 12-day license, which is a little scary to some bankers. Say, you want a what for a 12-day license? But we give them what we call a letter of interim or intent to renew.
And then they've got to produce, of course.
And obviously they have to put out, which they're very motivated to do anyhow. So,
and of course, nationwide, really, food trucks are and food vans or whatever are super popular right now. And so I assume some of those come in to the fair. I mean, people.
Yeah, I mean, there has been an explosion of food trucks. There's no doubt they're everywhere. And so far today, we have not licensed or brought in any food trucks. They really serve a different purpose. And sometimes we're starting to get some, like, well, is the fair against food trucks? But food truck is more of a, I call it, to create a metaphor, they're more like a sprint, and the Minnesota State Fair is certainly a marathon. Because a food truck will come in and serve a really good lunch for 90 minutes and run out of food and go home. But you can't come to the fair for 12-hour days and ever run out of food. So they're really not quite set up to do the same thing. So,
But you did mention you've got these people with portable sites.
Certainly, yeah, a concession trailer, but a full concession trailer is going to be like 12 feet wide by 30 feet.
So they can have a lot of supplies.
Exactly.
Now, does every vendor have to submit their total menu to you for approval?
Their menu, like I said earlier, right down to the length of the corn dog, comes down to the kind of gravy they're going to have on their poutine, because it's really that specific, and to protect them and to protect their neighbors. And we're very, I think what we do best at the fair, to brag about us a little bit, is we maintain geographic balance of like products. We don't have too much of any one thing. Mm-hmm. And as an example, this year I licensed a new Hawaiian shave ice operator, which sounds pretty generic and very simple. Well, for a fair of 1.8 million, we only had two before, now we have three. Oh, yeah. So they should all do well. But if I lined them up down the street and we had 12 of them, then nobody would do well and they'd all be competitive. So that's the way it works out well for everybody.
And, you know, people over the years, of course, make jokes about the healthiness or perhaps lack of healthiness.
Or the lack thereof,
I suppose you're kind of excited about the fact that lately fat has been given a better name.
Almost been given the go-ahead.
So do you have any kind of health standards at all? I mean, is there food that can you give me any examples of food that you've turned down?
Well, there have some things. I mean, one thing we haven't done yet, and some of the fairs do around, is fresh-made pork rinds. Or cracklins, they call them down south, and you're literally frying pig fat, you know, for lack of a better term. And we haven't done that yet, and I'm not saying that would necessarily be bad or any worse than some of the things we do have. But one of the things we have looked at very closely and is the consciousness of people with diabetic issues, and whether they be diabetes or the more common one now is that we see a lot of is the gluten-free and the celiac disorder, and people are being diagnosed with that more and more every day. And this year we added, I think it's off the top of my head here, 6 new items that are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And to give them, I mean, if you have a family of 5 and one of the kids can't have gluten, he's not going to enjoy his day as much as the others. Mm-hmm. So we try to give something so the whole family can still come to the fair and have something for the lactose or the gluten-free. Lactose intolerant, we take a look at, too. We have a couple items this year. So that's kind of where we're going in that direction and trying to help everybody have a good experience. There's always healthy food at the fair. You just have to find it. It's not going to be as mainstream or out in front because they just don't do the volume. And I've always said people come to the fair to misbehave for at least one day a year. So.
Okay, if you just joined us out there, listeners, we are speaking with Dennis Larson, who is the licensed administration manager for the Minnesota State Fair, and we're talking to him about food at the fair, and particularly because of the list of new foods that just came out. So let's turn to that for a minute and take a look at some of the more unusual foods this year. Well, how about Grandma Deb's Snicker Bar salad?
Yeah, who'd have thought that's something that we've probably seen at about every potluck or every, you know, Lutheran basement dinner has the Snicker Bar salad, that we would bring it mainstream to the fair, but it just looked like it was fun and different, and so we added that to the
Barnes menu. For those of you who don't know what Grandma Deb's Snicker Bar salad is, it's chopped Snicker Bars and Granny Smith apples tossed in vanilla pudding with whipped cream and drizzled with caramel sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a diabetic, you might want to...
Yeah, you probably not, that one.
Yeah. On the other hand, there's also Hot Tail.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what that is.
A rather provocative name, but we try to stay away from, I always say, some of the body parts of the animals that maybe we don't necessarily want to promote. But
right.
We did add this one because it is indigenous to, it's a Korean or Southeast Asian delicacy, for lack of a better term.
Uh-huh.
And it's a roasted pigtail coated in scallion and ginger sauce. Who'd have thought? But being offered by the Rabbit Hole and a Taste of Global Market down here. So certainly a unique ethnic offering that we'll see.
And it's not on a stick either.
It's not. No.
It is a stick, sort of.
Yeah, it is sort of on a stick of its own. Yeah.
And I noticed Cowboy Bites.
Yep.
I mean, some of these are pretty. There's some good stuff in a lot of these foods, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of the jalapeno popper done a little bit differently with some cream cheese in it and a crunchy bready.
Sweet corn kernels and bacon and.
Yeah.
Bite-sized balls, breaded and fried.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fried, that's good.
Cream cheese. Yeah, that one is deep fried, yeah.
What would you, let me see, the other one, the poutine, the new poutine, that's a Canadian delicacy, of course.
You're absolutely right. The original poutine, which we brought down a few years ago, was the Canadian delicacy done with the fresh-cut fries. And the turkey gravy, pepper, and then the raw cheese curds, which is right out of Quebec. This one's a little bit different, because it's from another country, so it actually has a poached egg on the top of it. So kind of a different spin or an ethnic spin of the old poutine, if you will.
And it's got kimchi, and it's called kimchi and curry poutine.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. With a poached egg on top. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most popular of all the food items that you have at the fair or have seen at the fair?
Oh, at our fair?
Yeah.
We've got the number one item for the last, half a dozen years now is the simple as Sweet Martha's cookies.
Oh, really?
Always number one as far as sales, yes.
It's a chocolate chip cookie?
Just a simple, and she's the first one to admit it's a Toll House recipe, and she's been making them for about 30 years out here, and hot and fresh, you know, made on site, and that's what makes them so special.
I did read about that. Like, yep. You can buy them by the bucket full.
Yeah, you can. I say it's the only place you have permission to walk around eating a whole pail of ice cream without mom getting angry, or ice cream pail of cookies without mom getting angry.
What is the most favorite food on a stick? All right, Dennis, you're back.
I think, can you hear me now, as they say?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you now. And I just took the chance to tell folks a little bit more about some of the weirder things on this list. But
sure.
The other thing, you talked about gluten-free, and then I noticed this pretzel croissant sandwich.
Correct.
Which says gluten-free and nitrate-free grilled chicken breast and ham. Well,
is there
such a thing as chicken breast with gluten?
Well, it's not the chicken breast that's the concern. Of course, it's the roll. And some meats actually are processed with gluten, especially like if you get into the hams and those types of things, that they will use gluten to kind of enhance it and emulsify it, from what I understand. So they say, but it's the roll and the croissant, that, as they have it listed there, the croissant itself isn't gluten-free, but they do have a gluten-free bread.
Gluten-free toast. I see. Yes, I guess. Yeah. That's the mm-hmm. French Meadow Bakery that does that. They've got a restaurant in the cities.
They've got a few locations in town and one at the fair. Yep.
Right. And then I noted I caught Sarah's Tipsy Pies.
Yes.
Each of several different pies have a different, it looks like an alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
Is that, I mean, are those for sale only to adults or?
No, it's a good question though. I asked Sarah's fun. She's actually the only new operator this year with a new food. So it's been fun to talk about her. She makes what they call a hand pie, which is about the size of your hand. They're individual pies. And each one, it has a real fun Minnesota connection because they're made right here in Stillwater, Minnesota. And every one of them is made with either Minnesota-made wine from a Minnesota winery or a Minnesota craft beer. And it augments the flavor, such as the berry one she talks about or the maple bacon. It'll have that wine, the proper wine, if you will, or beer to augment that flavor. But once they're baked, then the alcohol content is baked off and all that's left is the flavoring. So good for the whole family.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, now, how about you? Have you eaten all of these foods?
Well, thank goodness, no. I sometimes look like I have, but I really haven't. But there were a few things. We were able to try Tipsy Pies, and they were very well received. A few of the things from the local restaurateurs were able to get samples if we're just a little confused or what. But probably of the 40, maybe less than a dozen, we were actually able to get samples of and try and so on. But
there anything on your list that you're going to make sure to try when the fair opens?
I'm real curious about the Cowboy Bears Cup and Lou of Canada.
The Cowboy what?
Cowboy Bears Cup and Lou. It's on the front of the...
Cowboy Dave's Chuck and Lou.
Yeah,
smashed potatoes, roast beef, and grilled chicken covered with beef gravy, crispy onions, and mustard barbecue sauce.
And it's kind of funny this year. We've got probably half a dozen of these that literally, we say meat and potatoes as an expression, but literally have meat and potatoes. There seems to be a following for that type of thing at the fair, as long as it's not too much. Because people don't want large portions. They want to be able to graze and try a little bit of everything so they don't get too full too fast. So,
All right, Dennis. Well, I'm going to have to wrap things up here pretty quick.
Yeah.
But where do Pronto Pups rank in the all-time food?
They are in the top. And now I'm going to say this. I don't have my list in front of me, but we do literally have a top 10 list of all foods at the fair. Cream Eyes are being number one, and I believe corn dogs is second or third.
Oh, really? Okay.
The other classics are recognizably like cheese curds and pork chops and the corn roast and those types of things.
So, sure. Yeah. All right. Well, it's a great restaurant you run down there. And,
thank you so much.
Good luck with the new foods that you've got. You've got some new desserts also, ice cream-based things that are coming. And you got meatloaf on a stick and barbecued pickle ice cream and all kinds of good things. So
we got 11 new ice creams. We got two savory ones. So who'd have thought? Hot and spicy ice cream.
And there's a lot of use of sriracha sauce here, including in desserts. So
we went up with 6 sriracha flavors this year. Who'd have thought?
Folks out there have a lot to look forward to, and so do you, as the fair opens. Well, thank you very much, Dennis Larson.
Glad to.